Welcome Chris Medina, Intuit, Medium, fellow journeyman. Not that I'm an Intuit or Medium. Some may say I am, but who knows?
You might as well be, but thank you very much for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure to sit across from you. You did mention a second ago during the intro that we have similar journeys.
Absolutely.
And I agree with that 100%. And in passing, or just the other conversation before we did the show, what I was telling you that I feel, I don't want to bring all astrology in or bring all the metaphysical stuff here, but I feel the reason why we had similar journeys or similar things happen to us, the need for distraction to calm the mind down, was because our way of thinking.
Sure.
I think both of us have amazing self-control and always want to be in control and always thinking. You know what I'm saying? Like people... I've said this before, and I'm going to say this right now. I don't think people realize how difficult it is to be us sometimes.
For sure.
So, I mean, no wonder we needed an outlet. But yeah, growing up and having this ability and having the insight and the ability to tap into people's thought processes, whether it was my teachers, kids that I went to school with, my parents or whatever, fast forward to my teenage years where the voices, the lessons, the psychic ability started to sharpen and heighten, and I was being introduced to hardcore lessons that were shaping my way of thinking when it came to responsibilities, feelings, speaking on things, the truth, my truth versus what I've been force-fed my entire life. And around the age of 14, at a very young age, I mean, you're a couple years older than I am, you know what it was like growing up.
Oh, yeah.
I was introduced to coke at 14. I was doing lines of coke on my desk in junior high. You know what I'm saying? Like that was, to me, that was the rebellious part. That was this allows me to just be human for a little bit.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I would argue that was your medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And yeah. you had this gift. You didn't want to necessarily acknowledge it, or if you acknowledged it, other people would judge you for it or consider you quote unquote crazy.
Exactly. I grew up with that. My mother would tell me all the time, why are you looking at them? Or what's the problem now? And I would say things like, oh, it's because X, Y, and Z. You don't know that. You're just starting shit. So I always say this on my podcast, on my own show. I'm like, if I had the right backing, we all could say this. If I had the right backing as a kid, the emotional support that we needed, can you imagine how you and I would be right now?
Oh my God.
Unstoppable.
Right?
Unstoppable.
I always say that the job of parents are to be active listeners. That's
right.
It.
Right.
To understand that I believe in God. Some people do, some people don't. I'm not here to argue it. Yet I believe that the deity or whatever you want to call it created us all with all the tools necessary.
100%.
He or she or they or it created also a lot of static. You know, mm-hmm. when you're on the radio station, you hear the static, and therefore we need guides in our lives.
Right.
To help us clear the static. And so often people say to me, I say I help people help themselves. So they come and they'll say to me, Asher, what should I do? And I said, who the hell am I to tell you what's good in your life?
Oof.
Right? My job here is to sit, listen to you, and then repeat back to you what you're saying to me. Because sometimes you can't hear it clearly. And then assist you with whatever tools you choose to reach your goals.
I love that.
You know, not my goals.
Yes. I always get asked all the time after a session, because what I do is, the misconception of psychics, especially nowadays where it's the $25 palm reader, it's the one that's telling you about your amazing future and all the great sex you're going to be having, all these great things, that very well may be true for you. But let's talk about what's blocking you and preventing you from getting there. So I always tell people the very first 6 minutes of a session with me, I go in hardcore. I always tell them, this is the information I'm about to give you is directly from my guides about what's blocking you. And we go from there. So, and people will ask me afterward, oh, well, thank you for telling me this. You're not telling me anything that I don't already know. You're just confirming it. What do I do next? Here's my problem with that. I'm straight up. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to tell you or what you should do next. Because if you were to ask me, Chris, how do I do this? My first reaction, because I've been this way my whole life, is to say, I don't know. I just jump right into it. I don't have the luxury of getting to sit there and think about what I need to do. My guides are like, you do this. So when people ask for their process, that's something that you're going to have to do for yourself. Figure out something that works for you. So I'm right on the same page with you when it comes to that.
That's incredible. So tell me the moment, if you can, you got comfortable with this gift that you have. And then I don't know if you want to go into how the negative impact of all the, I'll call them fraudsters out there, affect you regular, you know, I don't, not affect you outside, right? Affect you inside, right? I always say that there are 1.5 billion therapists on this planet, and there are probably 1,499,000 bad ones. So my guess is...
Preach. Yes.
So, I don't know. I'm guessing that there are 1,499,000 bad or people attempting very badly to have a gift that they don't have. And what just resonated with me, and I'm so sorry for talking so much.
No.
What just resonated with me is you said, I don't tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. And anybody I've gone to that tells me what to do, immediately I look at them and I said, okay, so you're God?
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm not. So why are you telling me what to do?
Exactly.
Because you're obviously telling me what's good for you or what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask you that. I asked you, what should I do?
Exactly.
So
just to answer your question here, I grew up, my dad is Apache Indian, my mother's Hispanic. So all my, believe it or not, all my dad's side of the family has it in some way, shape, or form.
Sure.
With this ability growing up, coming into it and realizing, like I said, both my parents, my dad was a very active man. He was he still is a biker. He was a gangster drug dealer. My mother was more of a single mother that was codependent in relationships. So neither one were there. And I always go back to when people ask about your childhood, like, how did you survive? My guides were there. I just heard this voice in my head that would guide and tell me the difference between right and wrong. Like, they're telling you this because of X, Y, and Z. So having to listen to this extra sense that I had and help that was guiding and molding me and showing me the differences between myself versus the other quote-unquote psychics or intuitives. And growing up and seeking the insight and guidance from them because I wanted to know why I was feeling the way that I was feeling, why I had all these thoughts in my head. And a good majority of the time when you go see these types of people, they're just normal, everyday people that have nothing better to do than to try to help other people because here's what I hear all the time. It makes me feel good. They're not really, you know what I'm saying? Like, sure. it's almost like gossiping a little bit. So you go in there and you see them. And as I'm getting these readings from them, I'm starting to read them and I'm realizing how messed up their own lives are and why they're distracting themselves with this type of, you know, work that they're doing here and calling them a psychic or whatever. And, fast forward to my teenage years, I got involved heavy into drugs just to try to drown out the voices. And I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to be good. I wanted to experience everything on my own. I wanted to get into trouble. My guides were like, no, this is what's going to happen. I was like, well, just let me do it. And believe it or not, they allowed me to do that. So fast forward to 2014, I've always known as a child, my guides were like, we will let you know when it's time to walk your path. But first, you got to go through all these things. So I had a really good job. I was getting paid over $200,000 a year. I was living in Oregon. Amazing job. My guides came in around the beginning of August of 2014 and were like, get ready. The time is coming. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, I can buy $500 pairs of jeans every day if I wanted to and not go broke. Like, I'm happy. My kids are happy. I've got all this amazing stuff. It's time. Push is going to come to shove. It happened. I was working for a family business. It was a huge blowout there. Jay, who is my manager, was living with me at the time. I told him, I said, it's time to start doing this. I need to start doing this as my profession now. They told me it's time. He's like, what do we do? I was like, I don't know. You're going to have to find anybody that wants a quote unquote psychic medium on their show, whatever the case may be, and start putting it out there. As I'm going through this, I got mixed up with events, psychic, metaphysical affairs. And going in, you're under one big ass tent with like 40 different mediums, psychics, intuitives, healers, Reiki, channelers. The best one I love is the Akashic record readers.
Okay.
Yeah. And the people that can contact Mary Magdalene, all these great things that they can do. So I'm sitting there and I believe it or not, I don't have anything on my table other than my business cards. So people are coming by and they're like, where's your tarot cards? Where's your, you know, your pendulums and your board or whatever it is? And I was like, I don't need any of that stuff. Everything I have is right here. And they would sit down. I would give them a reading. And as I'm making my way through everything, getting to your question of asking, you know, how do you survive here? I had to take a step back and really take a real good look at the people that were reading these people. And a good majority of the time, and I know therapy is key, and I know that we're supposed to help out our fellow neighbor, and we're supposed to, you know, be their support system. But when you are telling people great things about what they do just to suppress them or to make them feel better, you're damaging them more than anything. So a lot of times when you see these psychics or these mediums, they've been built up by friends around them to do what they do with no real ability because nobody has the heart to tell these people, you're wrong. You need to do the healing from within first. I don't doubt that you have some sort of ability or compassion for other people, but what you're doing is fraudulent. It's fraud. Does that make sense?
Sure.
I hope I answered that.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm going to hit you straight between the eyes. How am I supposed to know that you're not fraud?
Good question. But when I give a reading, people always ask, Chris, how do you know a good psychic, what a good psychic is? What should you do? You shouldn't do anything. When you walk into a room with me, I don't want to know anything about you. Maybe your name, but that is about it. Don't tell me what you're here to know. Because like I said at the very beginning, when we talked a second ago, the first 5 to 6 minutes of my session with you is me going directly in on you. And I always tell people at any given time, I don't care that you're trying to be polite and you don't want to hurt my feelings. Call bullshit. Tell me, that doesn't resonate. That's my own test where I'm going in. I'm telling you things about you that nobody else knows about. A psychic will sit there. It's easy to predict in 2 or 3 years, you're gonna win $2,000. That's not really a prediction. Let's get to the real stuff. Let's see how you're going to evolve. My purpose, my mission here is to evolve. And I know it sounds corny, maybe just a little bit too love and light, but I'm here to evolve the soul. I want you to work from within. Not what I want you to do, but what you want to do. What's holding you back? That's the difference here. I'm not filling people's heads up with false hope or far out insight there. I'm dealing with what's going on with you right now. Does that?
Yeah. Absolutely mm-hmm. makes sense. You know, I liken the human being to a tree. Mm-hmm. And we spend so much time in the trunk of the tree, which is our ego. Mm-hmm. And what do we do for a living, who we are, blah, 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 da, 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 how other people see us. And when that stops working, we go to the branches. And I liken the branches to spirituality. So that's meditation, prayer, blah, blah, blah. When that stops working, that's when we got to go down to the roots, which is our soul. So what you just said completely resonates because... Go ahead. You were going to say it.
But it should always be that way. Your first go-to should always be you. And I tell people that no psychic, no medium, maybe it's bad for business for me, is going to make that difference in your life. Nothing. I may be able to predict with 100% accuracy how good you're going to do in life, mm-hmm. but you always have that option to self-sabotage. You know what I'm saying? The misconception here, the one thing that really gets me is how much money, how much time, how much people give of themselves to healers or psychics. And I've seen people, we've seen it, give me $900 and I'll go burn a 4-foot candle for you, but I'm going to burn it in my store where you can't see it. Are you out of your fucking mind? You know? Yeah.
No, it's ridiculous. It's truly ridiculous because that is looking for an outside solution to an inside job.
Exactly.
Right? So and you hit the nail on that. At least for me, mm-hmm. what resonates is a real medium is going to help me help myself, is not going to tell me what to do, may bring me some peace. You know, it was interesting. So I was telling you in the beginning, I had never been to a medium before. Mm-hmm. And I went to a medium at Miraval in Tucson, Arizona. Her name's Alexandra. And somebody had made me the appointment. And I was like, why are you wasting my time? Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, just give me a couple minutes. And she said, who's Albert? And that's my dad. And my dad was known as Rabbi Menachem Gottesman. People didn't. And she said, he's here to apologize. And then she went on to say, who's Bella? And I said, that's Tammy's grandmother. Well, she thanks you for taking your son to Poland to see the concentration camps. And she said, what's transcend? And then she said, about my three kids. And I said, well, I actually have five. And she began to explain it. And I looked at her and I said, Alexandra, you're batting like 980.
No.
Ignore that one.
Yeah.
It's okay. It doesn't all have to be perfect.
Yeah. And
she actually spent many years in psych wards.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because she couldn't get comfortable with it. And I think you said it. I think we all have a unique gift.
For sure.
And I think that you said about me, right? I have control. I have blocks. And at least I can be personal. Is I don't want to accept my gifts. Because my gifts sometimes mean responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then I have to get up and actually do something about it. And so my showing up moment all the time is saying, okay, I am uniquely gifted to listen to people. Mm-hmm. That's my gift. People trust me. People are willing to listen to me. I'm willing to listen to others. I don't have judgment. I have judgment, but I try not to listen to it.
Yeah.
And so that's my gift. Yet I don't want to accept it all the time. Or a lot of the times my head, the negative self-talk will tell me, no, you're full of shit. You're a fraud. I find that anybody that's negative self-talk tells them a fraud, they're in good shape. Because that usually means they're not.
I struggle all the time with that shit. Like, again, I always tell people this. If I didn't spend so much time, and it's true, suppressing this demon. I'm not saying I'm possessed by the devil. We all have that demon in us.
Sure.
And some of us have it a little bit stronger than others. And I always give that credit to my father and my mother because of their personalities and how I'm not... I have parts of them in me, but I don't go all the way down that road there. So I always tell people I spend a good majority of the time suppressing my demon to keep me out of trouble because growing up, I used my gift for manipulation. Mm-hmm. I used it to lie to people. I used it to get me out of getting jumped or bullied because sure. Here I am. I'm living in Simi Valley. I'm gay. I'm ethnic. And I've got a big mouth. You know what I'm saying? So I would use my ability to, you know, to kind of tap in and to manipulate people. But yeah, like having to live your life as a human being, have this ability and try to juggle all those hats that you have on, it's too much at times. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you and I both know that we turn to things that kind of try to alleviate that from us because the voices are so strong and there's only one of us. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So with me, whenever I'm down and I'm calling myself a fraud, without fail, because I tell something I tell people too, when you're on the right path, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, doors will open up for you. Things will come in. I'm constantly getting confirmations. Like there may be that one person, like you said, you're batting 980 here. And that one person that comes in and says, well, what you said didn't come true. You know, you said this was going to happen. Well, what did you do? But my first go-to, because I hate being wrong. Well, what did you do? Well, I just sat there and waited like you said. I never told you to sit there and wait. I told you to, you know what I'm saying? So, and then here comes the DMs on Instagram, Facebook. Oh my God, Chris, the reading you gave me was amazing. You have to keep reminding yourself. You're going to have people that don't believe in what you do and the ones that really, really rock with you that take your message and run with it. Because like I said, and I've been telling you, what I tell people is based on what they can do, what's within them. It's up to them to take what I've given them or what I've open their mind to and do something with it. I can't go with you on your journey. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. No, if they don't, it means they didn't believe what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rabbi story. I like to bring rabbi stories sometime. And two people who didn't have children went to the rabbi. You could call it the pastor. It makes no difference what it was. Mm-hmm. And he was considered a great magician, call it. Or he was connected above. And they each came to have children. And he blessed them. And the following year, both came back, one to thank him, one to ask why he didn't have children. And he didn't talk to either of them. He brought them both in the room together. And he turned to the guy that had children, and he said, why don't you tell him what you did? He said, well, I went home. The rabbi said, I saved up money. I built a nursery. I did what I had to do so that I can make sure that I'd be a good dad. And I had a child. So he goes to the other guy. So what'd you do? He goes, I prayed, of course. So he goes, so obviously they didn't believe my blessing. So often people come to you and say, how come it didn't work?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't work because you didn't do the work you got to do.
Exactly. It doesn't... it somewhat matters. It doesn't matter what good of a person you are. Right. If you are hiding from that responsibility of getting your shit together, how do you expect opportunity or change to come in when you're hiding yourself? You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. like what another twist to it too is, how much more worse can you feel doing what we talked about versus the way that you're feeling now? You're not doing anything productive. You're in this miserable spot here. How much more worse can it be if you decided to get up and maybe do a couple of different things? You know what I'm saying? But people, again, they want society in the way that we're going, the future. Everything's handed to us. Nobody's working for anything anymore. Right. There's a pill for everything. It's all about distracting you from the one thing that matters the most, which is you and your way of thinking as an individual. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. people, with everything being handed to them and everything so accessible here, they don't want to do the work or put the time in. Well, that's, you're going to get exactly what you deserve, which is probably nothing.
Right.
You know?
So if you could give a universal, I know the readings are individual, mm-hmm. yet I think, as you said, we're all in this, what have you done for me lately, immediate gratification, mm-hmm. lifestyle world. What would be your message, advice, whatever you want to call it, to us to actually start to take responsibility for our actions?
I would ask you, my message is always the same. Stop distracting yourself from yourself. Take time to go within. Go within doesn't necessarily mean to meditate and sit there and become one with the universe. You're going in and you're checking yourself. Just like a doctor would check you out, you go in and see how you're feeling. How do I like the way that I'm feeling? What changes could I make? Could I have done things a little bit better? Nobody wants to go back and be reflective. And with all these lessons coming in, the first thing, what you and I both know this, what do? When hardcore lessons come in, people curl up, why me? Why me? Instead of, why am I going through this? What are you trying to tell me? And I had to learn the hard way.
Sure.
My life, I have two kids. I told you about the way that I was raised and all these lessons that I had to go through. I am very surprised that I'm still standing to this day. Right. There's been so many times where I wanted to opt out, where I've got myself into positions where bad things could have happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I grew and I learned. I learned what not to do. I accepted responsibility. And a lot of times people, their guilt, their shame, and their fear holds them back. Like if I did something horrible to you, the only thing I can do is apologize from the bottom of my heart. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying that you go mess with everybody and then just say sorry and you're absolved of all your sins. No. But what more can I do for you other than tell you I'm sorry? I got to start healing. I apologize too. People are afraid to do that. They don't know how to handle emotion. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's saying sorry, but not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then sorry is meaningless.
Exactly.
You know, my daughter actually called me on that.
Really?
Yeah. Cause when I get anxious, I'll get upset at my daughter, my son, about something that they really didn't do. I'll find a little thing and make it big. And I calm down and I apologize. And my daughter says to me, Dad, if I could be honest with you, sorry doesn't really mean anything because you're going to do it the next time again. I love you, yet you're going to take your shit out on me again.
We are in the same
boat. You know, so I said to her, I said, thank you.
Mm.
I said, you know, I am going to work on it, and I'm going to remind myself that it's not your responsibility to own my shit.
Here's another thing for you, too. I think sometimes because we've done this alone for so long, mm-hmm. we are our first go-to, that we don't realize our own strength sometimes. Mm-hmm. In all the shit that we did to avoid getting ourselves killed, we've got, you know, things have happened to us, but we need to start trusting in ourselves and really taking a good look at why we're in the positions that we're in here, because we got ourselves here.
Sure.
Yeah, there was guides, angels, messengers along the way that helped us out here, but it was us that decided, this is not the life we want to live anymore.
Right.
So I think you and I forget that sometimes, because I'll do that too. I will say sorry, and like Jay, who's the only one that I have, or my kids will say that too. Yeah, but you do this all the time. Like, you can't just say sorry. And I'm like, you're right. I got to get rid of this feeling. Mm-hmm. That's my go-to. It's a defense mechanism, because
sure.
it's all about self-control.
And the good news is, mm-hmm. she came over to me and she goes, you know, you actually have been doing it. So no greater confirmation than that. And One of the times I realized that it happens to me is when I got off an airplane. So, you know, all the messages come in and I feel overwhelmed and I can't do it. And so I say to my son or my daughter would pick me up from the airport. And I said, no more. You know, no more. I'll get myself home or I'll park my car because I need that time to decompress. When I took the kids to Disneyland, I drove myself. I met them there. I sat in the car before I went in and I said, listen, this is their happiest place on earth. It may be my most miserable place on earth. Yet it's not about me. Uh-huh. It's not. And if I'm going to go and join them for the day, I'm going to allow them to enjoy and I'm just going to let it all slide. And every time I felt the need or the desire, it's not a need really, to lose my shit, I reminded myself of that. And I also remind myself it's okay to say no. So when they walk down whatever that street is, Main Street, and ask for every toy in every store, it's okay to say no.
That's right? Where you can take it out on them with the power of no. But yeah, I tell people that all the time. I've got the worst temper in the world. I'm half Native, and I'm Hispanic too. So I got my blood boils like crazy. And that's one of the lessons I need to learn is to remember that you have this. You're allowing somebody else to come in and infiltrate your space and your way of thinking that you will never, ever see again. Mm-hmm. So what difference does it make? You know what I'm saying? So like calming yourself down, but allowing yourself the opportunity, like you said, I'm going to drive myself and I'm going to sit in the car and I'm going to decompress for a second, gather myself. That's a technique that works for you. Mm-hmm. Same thing with me. If I'm feeling depressed or I know I'm going to take it out on somebody, I will get in the car and I will put music on and I will allow myself to release. If I'm angry and I want to, because you cannot just turn it off like that, especially Absolutely. With somebody like me.
Sure.
You're going to laugh. I have a designated shirt that I put on that's ripped and frayed at the bottom so I could rip it again. I also have a pillow that I scream into. And I just unload in the room by myself. I don't deny myself that feeling because it's going to come out in some way, somewhere else. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I know it sounds a little bit psychotic, but
not
that's
at all.
My focus.
No, it sounds brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah.
It sounds like you're aware, and you found a way to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, people ask me, are people not born? You know, nature versus nurture kind of thing. So. I believe it's, you know, nature, right? I believe somebody who's gay is born gay. I don't believe it's a learned activity. Mm-hmm. So they say, well, how about somebody who's born a murderer? I said, okay, let him be a butcher. Okay. Let him go chop trees. Let him go chop trees that need timber. I don't know. Go find a way to take your outlet. So accept your anger.
Exactly.
Don't deny it.
But
because it's going to come out.
It is. But here's the thing, though. We have people that are going to people that are not qualified to tell people certain things, and the techniques that work for them are just what works for that therapist or that person they're seeking, not the actual client. It goes to I know we're going to go way off the topic here, but I want to get involved in the school system later on with young minds, teaching these kids techniques to help them, not just educational stuff, but emotional stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
We're headed in a world where emotions are going to be nothing pretty soon. Like, I mean, that's where we're headed. Look at.
Yeah, no, it's sad. It's we're so often, I say, we deal with the symptoms, not the underlying problem. We deal, you know, drug addiction war, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about the opiates or blocking the opiates, or we talk about supply. The cartels, we don't talk about demand. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about why, as a nation that has more than any other nation in the entire world, we still all feel like shit. We still all are looking to medicate. What's going on here? So you're right. In school, we have a curriculum. We do not focus individually. We don't find people's talents. I always say we were all born artists. We were all born musicians. We were all born happy. We were all born loving. Mm-hmm. And what happened? Somebody told us no, and we believed it.
Amanda and I have a mutual friend, Allie, who has a brand new baby. She's 18 months old, that I'm extremely close to. And I was extremely close to her while she was still in the womb. And I told Allie, this little girl obviously is going to change your entire life here, because Allie was focused on, you know, what about my career? What am I going to do? Whatever. I said, this little girl is going to give you another outlet. which she did, and meeting this baby, and I babysit her very often, and I will always go in psychically to see how she's feeling. And if a child is left open without a parent telling them no or making light of what they're feeling, you'll see how far they'll open up and how much more of their natural ability comes out. And going back to when I was a kid too, my guides were there to tell me, don't listen to them. Your mother or your father is saying this because of an experience that they had, and they will literally put what happened to my parents in my mind so I could see. The same thing what I do with this little girl now is allowing her the opportunity to read me. Does that make sense? Like,
sure.
like in tune in, it's amazing how open children are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, children are the greatest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they tell you how it is.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter used to go over to friends and go, I can't play with you. You stink.
Oh, yeah. Kids are
and
great.
And I'd say, like you that. Can't say that. So I said, but they do. She smells.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
but see, we're told not, you can't say that. We're speaking the truth, though. Yeah. They're speaking the truth.
No, they're speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. And I say, yeah, and today, you know, I would rephrase it or reframe it. And I'd say, yes, you are right. She does stink.
Mm-hmm.
And let's try and say it to her in a way that she'll do something about stinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As opposed to cutting her off completely. So acknowledging, accepting, tolerating, loving, and then going, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that really resonates. That helps a mm-hmm. lot. And we have to remember we have a child inside of us. We have that 18-month-old always inside of us
yep.
that is looking to be. So that's the anger. That's the, you know. And you brought on something that your parents couldn't listen. It was their journey. Was that when I finally came? You asked me about my relationship with my mother in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and it was strained. And yet, I told her, I don't know, it was probably 7, 8 years ago, 10 years ago when I chose to forgive, and I said, "Mom, it's not about what you did; it's about how I experienced it."
That's deep.
You know, you yeah. did the best you could with the tools you had. You believed this was the best for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and Mom, I'm going to tell you my philosophy is a little different than yours and your generation. And my philosophy is that we love our children no matter what. Your philosophy is children love their parents no matter what.
Yeah.
And love doesn't mean yesing, mm-hmm. right? Love means I've thrown somebody out of their parents' house using heroin in the house lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, his name is Nathan today. He's sober. He's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Not always the case. I don't want to, anyway, I think that every case I've worked on, unfortunately, I've dealt with a lot of death. And I said to Nathan, I love you. Yet there are children in this house and you're affecting them negatively. So here are your choices. You go to treatment or go about it on your own. I'm always here. We can go to dinner. My phone is open to you. My love is not going away. It's just the support or the environment is going away for you, and you can make that choice. And he made the choice to leave, and then he called me when he was ready.
I think that's important, especially for the line of work. I mean, we're helping people just in different ways here, but allowing ourselves the ability to disconnect from the people that we're reading and not. It's hard to not form an emotional bond with those people.
Sure.
But you got to let them experience life on their own. Here, you gave them options that would work for you. You're not telling them what to do, but so long as you're going to be here, you're setting those boundaries with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people don't want to set boundaries. And there's another quick thing that I always say, the idiot's the idiot because nobody tells the idiot that he's the idiot. How do you expect there to be change if you're not telling people or you're not holding people accountable? Not necessarily holding them accountable, but bringing things to their attention that people just glaze over. Does that make sense?
Sure. Well, how do you know when someone's ready to hear it? You know, there's a saying I always have, don't rebuke a fool. He won't listen to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So if you're going to call somebody an idiot, they're not able to recognize that they're an idiot. Mm-hmm. Then who's the idiot?
Exactly. Right.
So how do you know?
You don't know.
Okay.
So
you do no matter what, or do you wait, or do the guides sometimes tell you, you know what? Don't do that to this person. They're not ready for it.
Exactly. They will tell me that. You can sit here. This is where the anger, frustration comes in. You can sit here and tell them what they're doing wrong till your face turns blue. They do not have it in them to listen to what you are saying.
Right.
Doesn't mean you if they I'm just going to be funny here. If they bring their stupidity and impedes on your life, that you can't call them out for making your shit uncomfortable. But again, like you said, a good majority of them, they're not going to listen.
Right.
But you, the fact that I'm telling you, might, who knows, you might experience somebody else that tells you something out later on down the road, and you will flash back to what I told you. So I just feel like, again, I guess for lack of better words, use your better judgment. Yeah.
What's the single best advice you can give to somebody that's coming to seek advice or direction from a medium?
God, that's so hard because it's so different. The medium aspect of it, we're staying away from psychic, but psychic medium, the medium aspect of it, if they're coming in for a medium reading, I am not one of those, I'm not, no disrespect to Teresa Caputo, but I don't deliver messages just to deliver messages, because that can do more damage than good. So when somebody comes into me for a reading and the person's passed on and they're really wanting to make that connection, I got to tune out everybody else that's coming through to deliver that message and see what it is that they're telling me, because they might need to hear something that, just like you did, that releases or relieves. Does that make sense? So
sure.
When somebody comes to me for a reading, I will definitely tell them straight up, don't be surprised if they don't come through, because why would they come to talk to a stranger? Does that make sense? Like, people forget mm-hmm. that these people were alive in their everyday lives. And I've had people come to me for readings that their background are religious backgrounds or they're racist. One woman came to me for a reading. She wanted to know where the family money was hidden at. And immediately when she sat down, I heard this man come through screaming at me, telling her, when is she going to shut the fuck up? When is she going to stop asking this? And you know what? Normally I wouldn't talk to, and you can bleep this out, I wouldn't normally talk to a faggot like you, but since she's here, tell her I said, and I'm like, and she's talking to me. I'm having a conversation with her. I'm having the medium reading in my head. And I'm also thinking about what I'm going to cook for dinner in 2 hours when my kids come home from school. And I'm getting all this racist stuff. And I asked her, I said, is your father, I said, no disrespect to you, is he racist? Or was he racist in his early life? She goes, yeah, he was a horrible man. I said, well, he's here right now. And he's telling you to mind your own business. So when you, to answer your question, come in with an open mind, but don't expect a huge miracle. And I can't go into a medium reading, the person doesn't come through, or the second time they come through, they're just sitting there being quiet, making sure that I'm not misleading the person. I always ask for a picture. Give me a picture, and I could tell you what their life was like, how they passed away. But in my, just again, my own opinion, unless it's a hardcore message that's going to maybe alleviate some pressure within, that's going to help you on your journey, I don't want to fill you up with the coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Or when you do past life regressions, what good, like, these people, they go to see a past life regressionist and the person tells them, you were a warrior princess in your life before. You battled your husband. You battled for your husband to the death and blah, blah, blah. Well, why are you weak in this lifetime now? What difference does that make?
Right.
We're talking about now.
Right.
Yeah.
We're always seeking the answer so we don't have to do the work.
Or just distractions to give us a reason to say why we are the way that we are. We've had all this trauma. And my past life regression has told me that I've had spent several years or lifetimes, you know, chained to a man before. Well, at what point are you going to break that cycle? You know?
No, we do know that trauma is passed down generation to generation.
Yeah.
Right? So often somebody who was beaten beats.
Yeah.
Molests. So counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their only way of knowing.
Exactly.
So if they don't break it, they continue it.
And there's people like us that are here, and this is going to sound corny again, that change the way the river flows in your family.
Mm-hmm.
It may not change it for everybody else, but it changed for you.
Right.
You made that difference. And I always tell people, guess what, kid? You've been selected to be the one that changes the way the river flows. Take that and run with it, because you're here seeking guidance from a psychic, from a therapist. You want to make a change. You want to do something better with your life here. Here are some tools that may help you. Take what you want out of the toolbox of life here and go do you.
If I may add.
Yes.
And you can disagree with me in that, and I love disagreements, because I want people to know I love people who disagree with me, who have different views than I do, different religions. I don't care what you got.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
Let's do it.
You said that we were chosen. I think we hit a point in our lives where we chose to have no choice. I think everybody that is on this earth has that ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The question is, will they reach a moment in their life where they will actually take advantage of that? I asked a teacher of mine, does everybody go through what I'm going through? Like, it fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful. Mm-hmm. And he says, yeah, usually when it's too late. The gift you got is now you got years to work on it and do it. Yeah, it's not a fun journey. But don't worry. You didn't come here to eat pizza. You know, you didn't come here just to party. That's not what this world's about.
I always tell people as I'm giving them a reading, I'm not only giving you a reading, but I'm also learning lessons through you for me. Same thing with this interview here. You're just giving me different techniques and different ways to vocalize what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to changing the way the river flows, or there was another woman that told me, don't be so irritated, Chris. Don't take it so personal when you see somebody fucking up and not doing what you're telling them to do. Maybe they needed to hear what you needed to say, but this isn't the lifetime that they make that change. Mm-hmm. That hit me like a ton of bricks. You're getting all this. It's leading you up maybe for the next life. Maybe you're not going to learn everything you need to learn here. But like she said, it's not your journey. It's their journey. We're just, I mean, as much as we can tell people over and over again what's wrong, what's holding them back here, ultimately it is their decision that they have to make.
Right.
And they just might not be in that time and space in this lifetime or whatever your belief system is to do that in this lifetime. I'll hear everything, but I'm not ready to make a move yet.
So would you say that we have physical passing, we don't have spiritual passing?
No, I think we have both.
So what happens?
I think that once you learn the lesson that you learn here, you either, it's been my experience from the way the medium stuff comes in, you either, if your belief system is reincarnation, you come back as somebody else or something else, maybe another, whatever the case may be, you just ascend and you stay up there. Or you're down here because you don't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, you're being shaped up. Your soul stays with you. That's my belief system. It stays with you forever. Our bodies are just vehicles, and there's just things that house our souls here. But it's a constant evolution, soulful evolution. What are your thoughts on that?
So I always say, as a physical passing, our body goes into the ground, but our soul remains forever.
I believe that.
You know, so it's just, I don't know the form. I believe that you said it. We're here all to do a task.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back as many times as we have to till we do that. And then once we do that, I'm not really sure what happens. I believe hell actually is, you know, when you get embarrassed and your face turns red. So I believe that's hell, because I believe heaven and hell are the same place. It's just total clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lived in this lifetime and whatever you did bad shit, and you didn't make an amends for it, you got to clean it up, because mm-hmm. it's completely clear. If you did bad shit and you did clean it up, or some bad shit you can't clean up, but you did the bad shit and you can clean it up, mm-hmm. and you did clean it up, it's gone. And when you go up there, it's heaven, because it's peaceful, it's not stressful, it's, you know, so... I don't know. I kind of think that that's what it is. I don't think there's any sort of thing as permanent hell. My God is the most loving, caring Father in the world. And all my experiences in my life, every single struggle, every single failure is just to get me to learn something good and positive ultimately.
But that person has to be willing to look at it the way that you're looking at it too, and know that this is a lesson. I'm being tested. This is for my own personal growth and development. And so many times people freak out and they don't realize that I'm always telling them, wait a minute, look at the lesson here. I want you to repeat back what you just told me.
Sure.
You're acknowledging what is going on here, but you're looking at it as, again, I'm not blaming victims here, but you're victimizing yourself. You don't think there's any other way out. If I can sit here and tell you all the horrible shit that I've done in my lifetime to where I'm at now, you'd be like, how can you smile? Your first question would be like, how can you put a smile on your face?
Sure.
Because I forgave myself. I understood what I needed to do here. So it's just a level of, just like what that woman said, it's your level of evolution at the time and space that you're in right now. Does that make sense without
Absolutely.
Going too far down the rabbit hole? Yeah.
Forgive yourself. I think that's kind of the perfect place to end. I think that people hearing what you just said, forgive yourself.
Yep.
Forgive yourself.
Forgive yourself.
Any parting words for our listeners?
Those of you that are looking to, we're going to use the word intuitive instead of psychic because we're in your house here. Looking.
Oh,
to
you could use whatever word you want.
Looking to get a true, authentic reading. No smoke and mirrors, no bullshit that has to do directly with you. Hit me up, chrismedina.guide. Those of you that are interested in learning more about your abilities or my abilities, whatever the case may be, learning how you can grow and evolve here, hit me up, chrismedina.guide. Social media at psychic Chris M. But again, the power is, I'm going to always redirect you. A good psychic, a good intuitive, a good therapist will always redirect you back to you.
Guys, you heard that. chrismedina.guide. chrismedina.guide. Don't lose your opportunity. If you're listening, there's a reason you're listening. And firstly, forgive yourself and then do some shit about it.
Exactly.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having me.